As the fraud epidemic becomes too unpleasant, the customers protest bad publicity and so on and so on. Whereas in the European, in the American case, the banks have invested upfront on security and will maintain the security. Some of them perhaps are prepared to do that all the time. They are monitoring the development of fraud and act quickly. Perhaps even they are investing all the time based on a good chief security officer. This is more like a proactive strategy. In practice, it was found that the European banks had to invest more to in security in the end over time than the Americans did by being reactive. And I think these archetypes allow you to understand why it's thus. You were asked to discuss this, and most of you did discuss that based on the archetypes. Some of them, they kind of spoke generically. That's not as good, because the idea with the archetypes is that they should allow you to improve your thinking and to reason more effectively. So they are a tool for understanding the problem better, understanding the possible solution better, and argue from that. Okay, that much on the exam. So I hope that I can give you the grade at the latest tomorrow afternoon. And as I said, I will call the external examiner. I have sent him two emails and he hasn't responded. I know he's a busy guy. But I will call him this afternoon. Okay. Then let's now proceed to the main lecture. And I want you to engage in some exercises today as well. If we look at what we want to do, I put we will use a case, the life cycle of vulnerabilities from the course on system dynamics as a running example. And in order to solve that, we will need some information that comes before. But I would like to go straight to the case and explain it to you so that you can also think on your side. So let's go here to this one. So this is the case. You find it from slide 164 on. So we will use this is a study that appeared as far back as the year 2000, but it is a classic study. The reason why I chose this is because even today, because it's still appropriate, there are still problems with vulnerabilities, perhaps even more than before, because we have now a market for crooks, a black market where vulnerabilities are a bot. And there are a lot of people who are trying to identify these vulnerabilities. Some of them, they are called white hat hackers. They are the good guys. They are people who do that in order to alert the software developers, or perhaps they are even part of the software developing team, so that they can fix these vulnerabilities before they cause trouble. And then you have then the black hat hackers, and they are the bad guys. They want to use these vulnerabilities to attack the systems, or they want to sell the vulnerabilities to some people who want to attack the systems. And as I said, there is a black market for this. In fact, one of my PhD students did a study of that, because believe it or not, this black market, they have our own web pages, and you can to some extent visit them and see what is happening. What she found in the study was that there are two levels, and level where everybody can participate. So if Constantine, if you want to trade vulnerabilities, then you can visit that and pay perhaps with Bitcoin and get something for whatever, perhaps for spam or so. And once you have, they feel quite safe that you are another crook that they can trust. So they will give you access to the deeper levels where you can get the big, big ones, which are vulnerabilities that can allow you perhaps to steal information, sensitive information. So if you as Ukrainian want to destroy Russia, I'm joking, you could perhaps get a big, big, big vulnerability that will allow you to steal 100 millions of rubles, or how do you pronounce it, rubles or?
Rubli.
Rubli, yes, 100 millions of rubli. Anyhow, I'm joking, but indeed there is a market for this because some companies want to do espionage or whatever, or perhaps even terrorists want to create havoc and so. So, and there are, as I said, millions and millions of vulnerabilities. So discovering them is a question of a bit of chance. If a white hat hacker knows the vulnerability, this person will alert, perhaps even get paid for that, alert a software developer, and they can fix it before it is exploited. But the black hat hackers, they will sell that or use them themselves for their own purposes. So in the year 2000, three researchers from the Software Engineering Institute in Pittsburgh, they published an article in the journal Computer where they look at different vulnerabilities and how they have been developing over time. And if you look here in the bottom, you see a very long timeline starting January 96, going for 3 years until the end of 98. So, and then you see this dotted line, the red one, the difficult to see what the colors are, they look quite similar. The next one, I think the next one is a green one, and the last one a blue one. The red one tells you when the discovery, the vulnerability was discovered. And it was discovered by a good guy, by a white hat hacker. And just a couple of weeks later, it was corrected. What does it mean corrected? It means the developers had a patch. And anybody who got the patch, and all the customers got it or could get it, could fix the system and then have a system that could no longer be attacked. But you look at the timeline and you see attacks. First a few, then increasing more, and then it explodes, and it has a long, long, long tail. The columns, they give you the impression of sight a bit random, sometimes more, sometimes less. Well, to some extent there is some randomness in that. It depends on some chance on who launches attack and how many and so on. But actually, it is more, it is not as spiky as you see here, because what you see are the reported number of attacks exploiting this vulnerability. And reporting, that doesn't necessarily be when this happened. It is when the guy who was attacked finally reports that. I know that for a while in the 1980s, I was working myself with models for the AIDS epidemic, which was then quite new. And the reports as to how many people who had got AIDS, or actually how many were infected, they were in some cases sporadic. In some countries, like say Switzerland, they were perfect. They reported immediately, among other partly because they are very disciplined, but partly also because the centers of disease control in Switzerland, Bundesamt für Gesundheitswesen is its name, they paid the doctors to report. In other countries, where the people are less disciplined, or where they had to do this out of their pocket, that is, they had, after a long day, they had to write a report, or not long day, sometimes they should find the time to write the report, then they did then, or they did that not. Because the other thing was, one of my colleagues, a medical doctor, who was writing a book about the developing of AIDS, he phoned around in different countries and different places to medical doctors and discovered that they told them many more AIDS patients than were officially reported. In some countries, for instance, in Africa, they had one case for years reported, always the same old case, where actually, by calling doctors who were working there, he found there were thousands of new patients every year. So that was very different. So again, the moral of this is that this is not the number of attacks, that's the number of reported attacks, and depending on who is reporting, how late they do, or whether they report or not, you might have late reporting or even under-reporting. Okay. So what is interesting is that there were small amounts of activities prior to the developing of a script to automate the attacks. Then, the vast majority of the attacks, successful attacks, occurred after somebody had developed a script. Developing a script means anybody can attack. The only thing you need to do is download the script, and believe it or not, there are web pages where you can go and for free, or today for money in the black markets, you can get the attack weapon. So there were a few attacks until somebody developed an automated method that could be downloaded. And then there was a very long time horizon. Actually, it's more than 2 years. It was nearly 3 years. Well, depending from the first attack, April to November, it's 2.5 years approximately. And probably there were still attacks going on even today. Some people will still have that. Now, what we first have to do, and that goes back to the question of the reference behavior that we spoke about last class in February. When you want to create a model, then you should have some behavior that you want to match. So instead of trying to match the reported vulnerabilities, we make some assumption as to the actual attacks, and we make a continuous curve that matches approximately what happened. Actually, this is not a very good match because, as you can see here, you have a big spike here, so it should be more to the left. But basically, it is some curve going up, down, and then like this. And that's the kind of data we would like to reproduce. The number of intrusions per week or month or whatever should behave like such a hump, which is skewed, that is, it has the maximum to the left, and then it has a very long tail. And also, the problem will be to neglect, we will concentrate ourselves on the attack by scripts and forget about the manually done attacks before the script was developed. Because what we want to model is the adoption of the script. And then, in order to model this, we will develop an assumption as to what is driving the attacks. And the assumption is the driving mechanism for the increase of the attacks is the availability of the script. And that's what the authors wrote in the article. We found that automating a vulnerability, that is the script, not just disclosing it, is the catalyst for the widespread intrusions. And when you see this, then you think immediately in terms of the beginning of a virus epidemic. Remember when I we spoke about the virus epidemic, I told you you have other kinds of infections. And in fact, today you hear about something going viral. When something, a tweet becomes very popular, it's said to be viral. And that's because the mechanism is similar to an infection. The people who get information that they think is cute, they act as if they had a virus in the brain that forces them or leads them to spread it further and so on. So the mechanism for a virus infection and the propagation of innovations, of scripts, of ideas, is basically the mechanism of a virus infection. The other thing that we find is that it is not until quite late in the life cycle of the vulnerability that people really defend themselves. How do they defend themselves? Well, by patching. So Arbor wrote in the article, further, the patches were generally available shortly after or concurring with the vulnerability's public disclosure. Thus, while open disclosure obviously works, the availability of patches prior to the upswing in intrusions implies that deployment of corrections is woefully inadequate. That is a very complicated way of saying that even if people know, because it has been disclosed, that there is a patch, they don't use it. It's first when they see that there is a real danger, because a lot of people have been compromised or hosts are being attacked, that they finally start patching. So the idea for a model like here is there will be a balancing feedback loop that will be released by the increasing number of interactions and that becomes stronger and stronger towards the end of the life cycle. Okay, so we will then develop some models and so on. And I can disclose already that in the beginning, the idea is pretty much the idea of an epidemic. So we have hackers without scripts. They won't attack because they are lazy. They will attack when they have a script. And how does the script come in? Because the hackers with a script in some way become known. They are publicizing their attacks. So they are getting recruiters. And basically, you will get, to begin with, a model like this. Then I would like you to do an exercise by yourself. And that is, since you have done the virus model, could you please create this? So do that. Then I will give you the numbers. So the exercise is on you. You have Vensim there. Could you spend 10, 15 minutes in creating this model yourself? And everybody who is watching this lecture or later following with this, please do that. So first draw this model with Vensim, and then I give you the numbers to put in. Okay? So please spend about 10 to 12 minutes. I think you should be able to do that, perhaps even faster. So you just tell me when you are done. So I oops. You may be a little bit confused here because of the fact Hacker community is in the various model something like which we had here as the number of computers that could be infected. This is basically the same model, only that the equations have been condensed a bit. So instead of doing some calculations here and in here, the calculations are done directly there. So you can, if you prefer, rather imitate the virus model. And this one, which is a bit complex, effect of vulnerable host and adaption of scripting, it has a long name because later it will come from some other calculations, but it is a way of saying that the process is influenced by the attractiveness of the goal. If the hackers see that there are many targets that can be attacked because there are many, then they will feel like quickly entering the bandwagon. So yes, create this model which is very similar to a virus epidemic model, then I will give you some numbers for this. Have you finished doing this? You are ready. Okay. So let me. Okay. Yes?
I have a small question. What does it mean that minus and plus sign in the flow?
Yes. You have here a reinforcing loop. The influence of the adoption of scripting on HackersVScript is a positive polarity. The more people adopt scripting, the more hackers will have script. That's this plus here. But the influence of this adoption of scripting on the hackers without script is negative, because the more that adopt, the less hackers that are left without script. So this balancing loop going this way will have negative polarity. The flow will always go like this. Let me see. I am not so sure as to how much the camera will allow us to show, but perhaps I can move this here. Oof! I don't know. I don't know why this makes so much noise. Okay. Okay, if you have here a level and here another level. The sound is not working? No, it doesn't. That's strange, because this is on. Hello? No. Hello? Let me see. Hello? I don't know why it's not working. It does make noise. Hello? Does it work, the sound? Hello? What is the problem here? Hello, hello. Seems to be, I think this must be defective. Hello? Still not working? No. Okay, I suggest the following. We take a break now, and I will see that I get another microphone.
Hallo, hallo. En, to, tre, en, to.
Vi bare stramma den, nå tok jo jeg ut den og satte den på plass igjen. Kanskje den ikke satt ordentlig på plass, jeg vet ikke.
Ja, det var kanskje det. Kanskje var det at man...
Den skrus ned på?
Ja, det hadde, det var ikke skrut på.
Det kan hende at noen har løsnet, ja.
Ok, da skjønner jeg. Da ok, da er problemet løst. Hjertelig takk.
Det var bedre enn at det er løst.
Ja.
Så for at du ser, her er det en ja. Der, og så to der. Det er faktisk mulig å sette den feil, så folk gjør sånne ting da.
Ja, men skal vi se. Sånn skal det være, ikke sant?
Ja.
Og sånn skal det være.
Nei.
Nei. Det er samme vei begge.
Ja.
Ja, ok. Ja, greit. Takk skal du ha.
Jo, ok. Håper du går hit.
Ja, da satser vi på det. Fint.